Brothers and sisters, we have read together from Luke chapter 18 and 19, also Ezekiel chapter 34. We have listened to the law of our God in the context of the Lord's Supper form, and the whole thing puts together a message of the sinners by nature are lost. And that is why I want this morning to proclaim to you God's word as we could read it and ask particular attention before Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I summarize the sermon this morning with these words, the words of the text: the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We look at 3 points. The first is, who was lost? Then, what did the Son of Man do? And how did the lost respond? First then, who was lost? We're familiar, brothers and sisters, with the episode of Luke 19. Zacchaeus, the little man, climbed a sycamore tree for he wanted the Lord to see. And we see it happening in the eye of our mind, a quaint event. We do need to notice that this event happened while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. That's chapter 18, verse 31. Jesus tells the 12, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going there in order to suffer. Suffer because that's what's written of me in the prophets. I will be delivered over to the Gentiles. I shall be flogged. I shall be crucified. And all of that we understand, for the prophets say it, is on account of the sin of God's people. Those who have fallen into sin deserve the judgment of God. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to take upon himself the judgment sinners deserve so that sinners might be set free. This is the gospel. Jesus is going to Jerusalem for the benefit of the lost. That's also why on the third day he will rise from the dead. He's going to Jerusalem to do what we commemorate at the table of the Lord. He chose a route to Jerusalem that took him through Jericho. There are two events that happen in Jericho. Well, the one is before, chapter 18, 35, as he drew near to Jericho. We see him coming close to town. Here's town, and this blind beggar calls out, have mercy on me, restore my sight. And Jesus does. The result is the people saw it and glorified God. And Jesus keeps on walking. Chapter 19, he enters Jericho. And as he's passing through, Jesus meets Zacchaeus. And it's that meeting with Zacchaeus that prompts Jesus to say the words of our text, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So, who were lost? We say, Zacchaeus. Yes. Yes. Zacchaeus. According to verse 9, a son of Abraham. That's to say, a covenant child. One that God had claimed for himself in his covenant of grace. To be God to you, Zacchaeus, whatever that may mean, and that's caught in the Lord's in the baptism form, I shall be your father. My son shall wash away your sins. Through your spirit I shall renew you. Whatever that may mean, I am your God. That was reality for Zacchaeus. In other words, what was true for you and for me. God has made his covenant with you and me. The same promises he's given to Zacchaeus. So this child, upon his birth, received the name Zacchaeus, that translates from a Hebrew word meaning righteous. A righteous one. This is the baptism form, congregation. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son promises us that he washes us from our sins. Thus we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. Zacchaeus' parents gave him that name, a covenant child, with glorious promises. My boy, you are a Zacchaeus. You are righteous before God. That's his promise to you. But Zacchaeus joined the world. Shall I say, overtaken by the temptations of the world and the desires of the world, he became a tax collector, and a very good one at that. The point here is that goods were moved between jurisdictions, and the Romans gave authority to particular people to collect those taxes. The highest bidder received the right to collect taxes in a given area. Jericho's on a trading route. A lot of goods travel through Jericho, and Zacchaeus bought the right to be the tax collector in Jericho. He had to pass on to collect the taxes to the Romans, but to earn a crust himself, he had to extort more from the merchants than law required. Law turned a blind eye to it. After all, the tax collectors have to live somehow. Zacchaeus was very good at extorting. He was rich. As a matter of fact, he became the chief tax collector. You see, he knew how to break the eighth commandment in such a way as still to be within the law. And in so doing, we understand he's guilty also of breaking so many other commandments. To say with the Lord's Supper form, did he trust in the Lord alone? First commandment? No. Serve him as the Lord had commanded? No. Did he love his neighbor? Sixth commandment? No. He milked his neighbor for all they were worth. And of course, there's the eighth. By stealing, greed of extravagance, lead a worldly life. Zacchaeus, the righteous one. Did he covet? Sure. Did he lie? Of course. He had to get past what the merchants knew the law was. We understand this covenant child was lost. Though God at his infancy had put him on the path of salvation, and so he lives among the people of God with parents that call him righteous, though God had put him on the path of salvation, he chose not to walk the way of the Lord. He was in it for the now, to satisfy his wants. I've got to be rich. I need my fill in the blank. Did he see himself as lost? There's no evidence in Luke 19 of that. But the community certainly did. And they tagged him as a sinner, big time. Who was lost? Yes, Zacchaeus, but so, congregation, was Jericho. Zacchaeus lives in that community. Was the community better than Zacchaeus? Already Jesus had healed a blind man in Jericho, and that blindness typified Jericho's citizens as well. You wonder why I say that. Well, you know your Bible history. Jericho was the city that the Israelites first came to after they crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land. Jericho was a fortress city that guarded the entire entry to that Promised Land. Israel had to take Jericho, else they couldn't get the Promised Land. In the providence of God, the Lord gave Jericho to the people of Israel. You know the story of how the walls collapsed. Then it was God's instruction, you're not to rebuild this city. You received the city, you received the land for free, from the gracious hand of your God. Well, now, you can only keep the land in the same way. God is your fortress. God will preserve. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about the people of Israel getting Jericho by faith. And that was the Lord's point. What you got by faith, you keep by faith. And so they were not supposed to rebuild the city. Certainly not as a fortress. But 1 Kings, they did rebuild the city. It became a fortress again. In the days of Jesus, Luke 18, 19, there's a garrison of Roman soldiers there. As a matter of fact, Herod has his winter palace there. The gateway to the Promised Land, controlled by the heathens. The whole thing just speaks of the faithlessness of the city and of the people of Israel as a whole. Who's lost? Just Zacchaeus? No, Zacchaeus is, but so's the people of Israel. That's why Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem there to be betrayed, there to be crucified by his own people. Who's lost? They all were. Why is that significant? Do you think you are lost or not? We read together a portion from the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. But tell me this, what's your real thought about this sentence? Let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. Do you think there is place for you truly today, tomorrow, Tuesday, to consider your sins and attach to your sins the word accursedness? Do you think it's really in place for you to detest yourself? Detest means hate. And then humble yourself before God? Maybe we can say, fair enough, of Zacchaeus, he's lost, and Israel's lost, fine. Where do you and I fit into this? In this congregation is part of self-examination. How do I really think about me? Am I lost? Or not really? Is it just the other that's lost? Second point, what did the Son of Man do? Our text calls Jesus the Son of Man, a phrase that speaks of his kingly power, authority. Well now, Jesus enters Jericho. That lost city. He goes through its gates, enters that fortress, which isn't supposed to exist. He could have gone around this symbol of unbelief, of heathendom. But sovereignly, beloved, and graciously, he makes a point of entering that lost city to find a specific lost sinner. Zacchaeus. He's obviously heard of Jesus. That's why he wants to see Jesus. And so this little man, he gets in front of the crowd and he climbs the tree because he wants to see Jesus. Very well. And he's sitting up in his perch in the tree there. And Jesus walks past and he stops. And he looks up and through the branches he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay at your place today. There's the sovereignty of the Son of Man, a sovereignty that he uses for successfully seeking, finding the lost. That worldly Zacchaeus, covenant child gone astray, who through his work had made himself very rich, that man scores Jesus' interest. Are you surprised at that? Would you think Jesus would pause to look for you hiding amongst, well, where could you hide? In a tree? In a crowd? In your room? There's so many places one hides. Would Jesus pause to seek you, be interested in you, address you by name? Zacchaeus, righteous one, don't you recall your circumcision, the covenants God made with you? We heard the law this morning. We're aware of our sins and shortcomings, our failures, wretchedness. Would Jesus stop for me? And some of us are going to say, I'm a pretty decent sort of a fella. I earn it. He'd stop for me. No, we wouldn't say that, would we? but we might think it. And others of us would think and would say, I'm unclean. If Jesus saw and he sees everything, if he looks at what I've done, if he sees through me, he'd turn his face from me. He wouldn't want me, I'm sure. And he would say, you're a loser. But Jesus, beloved, came, he says, to seek to save the lost. The who? People aware of their sins, of their failures, down on themselves because I blew it again. Did he come for you? Yes, beloved. Yes, he came for his people. That's what the angel said to Joseph. He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, even the lost amongst his people. Did he come for you? Yes. Are you to hide yourself from him because I'm too lost? I'm too unclean? I'm too wretched? No. He came for the lost. So, let me embrace the reality of my lostness. And acknowledge, too, the wrath of God against my sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished. But instead of pouring out his wrath on me, shunning me, rejecting me, he's poured it out on his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came to seek and save the lost, even me. Back to Zacchaeus. With authority, the man on the ground says to the man in the tree, hurry and come down. And he adds, I must stay at your place tonight. I must stay. And the way the Greek is put together there, Jesus is conveying divine compulsion. God has made it clear to Jesus that Jesus must go to Zacchaeus' place. Why must he go? Since the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus is lost. A covenant child gone astray. So it is for Jesus, upon instruction of God himself, to get into the home and into the life of this lost sheep in Israel. Amazing. Tell me, brothers, sisters, why would Jesus be more interested in Zacchaeus than in you or me? The crowds knew Zacchaeus was a sinner. It was well known this man rips off the vulnerable. And he was despised for it. I have no idea whether Zacchaeus' parents were alive, and I've no idea where they were at in their spiritual journey. But if this was your son, what would you as parents think of Zacchaeus? And Jesus says, I've got to go to your place. He's interested in our straying boy. He came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus. And those aren't just words. Came to seek and save the lost. But they're deeds. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your place. Well then, if Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost, was interested in this lost child of Israel, why wouldn't he be interested in you? Think it through, beloved. Why would he not? The point is, he is interested in you. Well then, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and the perfect righteousness of Christ freely given as his own. You are Zacchaeus, righteous. Do you believe it? Son of Man, interested in you. How are the lost to respond? How would you expect Zacchaeus to respond? I think we think gratitude. But what do we read? What we read is Zacchaeus comes out of that tree and then received Jesus joyfully. Good. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood, and we can see the little man standing there. He's puffing up his shoulders. He's going to be big now because Jesus is coming to his place. It's an honor. And he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods to give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. What's that mean? Do you read that as evidence of repentance? Is this a promise of what Zacchaeus from now on is going to do? Well, not likely, congregation, for a couple of reasons. And the one is, he doesn't say, I will give half my goods to the poor. He says, that's what I normally do. He uses the present tense. On top of that, the Lord in the law had stipulated what repentance has to look like. Numbers chapter 5, verse 7. Someone has committed a sin, he shall make full restitution for his wrong, adding a fifth to it and giving it to him to whom he did wrong. That's the law. What's Zacchaeus do? Well and truly exceed the stipulations of the law. Does that sound like, taste like repentance or smugness? Self-righteousness. Humility would say, what does the Lord want? Zacchaeus says, here's what I do, Lord. point. He's boasting. He thinks he's good. Deserves Jesus coming to his place. He covers up his extortion through his generosity. The good works offset the bad works. Can we relate to the attitude? Yes, we can. Next Sunday is the supper of the Lord. Can I sit at the table of the Lord? Well, you know what? If I do my best this week, I'll feel okay to attend the table of the Lord on Sunday. And my good this week will offset my bad, and the Lord will receive me. This week, I'll try extra hard. It'll be okay. But that's simply not congregation. What Jesus wants. Why does Jesus go to Zacchaeus' place? Because Zacchaeus is an okay sort of fellow after all. He does his best in the service of the Lord? None of it. Look at verse 9. Jesus' response to Zacchaeus' boasting is, today salvation has come to this house. Why? Because Zacchaeus is a decent fella? No, salvation has come. Jesus is coming to your place. Since this man is a son of Abraham. Salvation's coming because I'm coming to your place because you're a covenant child. God's claimed you for himself. So what's Jesus, the Son of God, to do? Stay out of Zacchaeus' space? Because after all, this covenant child's a sinner? No, this is a covenant child, wayward to be sure, lost in his sin and misery. But Jesus came exactly to save the lost. So Zacchaeus, I'm coming. Never mind what you think about yourself, how good you are. You're lost, Zacchaeus. But I'm coming because I come to seek and to save. Not the decent, not the respectable, not the found, but the lost. And Zacchaeus, that's you. How did Zacchaeus respond to that? I don't know. It's not that important. Because how do you respond to that? That's important. And Jesus, after he spent some time at Zacchaeus' place, carried on to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he was arrested, he was flogged, he suffered, he was crucified. Why? For Zacchaeus' sins. For your sins, for my sins. He said he came to seek and save the lost. Well, then he went to the cross to atone for the sins of the lost. That's the gospel. Zacchaeus' transgressions piled onto Jesus. Your transgressions and mine piled onto Jesus. And he takes the chastisement we deserve. And now Jesus says, I'm coming to your place, Zacchaeus. Yes, I'm coming to your place, congregation in Smithville. I want to sit at table with you. I want you to sit at table with me. Worthy? No. Lost. But I want you to come and sit at table with me anyway, because I came to seek you and save you. And there's the question. Let everyone search his heart whether he also believes this sure promise of God, that his sins are forgiven. Am I worthy? I'm not. But emphasizing the lostness, beloved, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those without sin may come to the table of the Lord. We don't come to this table to declare that we're perfectly righteous in ourselves. But now we seek our life outside of ourselves, because Christ sought us out. We seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we acknowledge we're dead in ourselves, we're lost. We're very aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We don't have perfect faith, and we don't serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily we have to fight against the weakness of our faith, the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're heartily sorry for our shortcomings, and we desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Ah, yes, that's me. That's you. That's us. Christ came to seek to save the lost, and He's found us. So what do we do this week? Delight, beloved. Delight in the Savior who's found you. Found? Yes. What's that look like? That I'm sorry for sin. I delight in His forgiveness. I know myself found and saved. And I live a life of thankfulness. Who's lost? What did the Son of Man do for you? How do you respond? Amen.